Welcome to the Naughtiest Naughty. This is the podcast where myself, Liam Milburn, and Scott McGurdy, who's not here today, are on a quest to find the very best top 10 single of the noughties, going through every one of them in chronological order, doing the research, listening, watching, enjoying most of what the decade has to offer, because it was the best decade and we're having so much fun doing it. We're currently in the middle of 2003 and currently, spoiler alert if you're not caught up, myself and Scott both have this from Girls Aloud as our series winner. Sound of the Underground was released in December 2002 after Girls Aloud were formed on the ITV talent show Pop Stars The Rivals. It shot to number one thanks to its clever songwriting by production stable Xenomania. It had the moodiness, the attitude, and a head-spinning genre fusion which combined surf rock guitars, dance music, and drum and bass for a single which had something for everyone. It put Girls Aloud on their way to become one of the biggest and most successful bands of the era, and basically forced the rest of the pop music industry to raise its game, even though very few could match those levels. Now, last week, something amazing happened. Just months after the 20th anniversary of its release, a cover was released by Bristol-based vocalist and producer Grove, which sees the darkness and drum and bass already in the original pushed to the max and intertwined with their distinctive sound. It's the sound of the underground, the beat of the drum goes round and around into the overflow, with the girls getting down to the sound of the radio, up to electric nights where the bass line jumps in the back street lights. The beat goes around and round, it's the sound of the Obviously, Scott and I are obsessed with the original, and we also love this new rendition by Grove, so I hit them up on Twitter and arranged the chat you're about to hear. So Grove, first of all, congratulations. This song, it's got the potential to be like a massive crossover hit. Obviously, like, there's the nostalgia of it, 20 years since the original song came out. The sounds that you have in your music are kind of quite in right now. For those who are unfamiliar with what you do and your sound, and maybe have come into this and are a bit confused, how would you kind of best define what it is that you, what's the Grove experience for the people who are unfamiliar?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the Grove experience is rooted in bass heavy, kind of darkness soaked, but also cheeky sounds. Mm-hmm. I would describe it as that. It's very rooted in what I experience in the city that I live in, that is Bristol. Mm-hmm. It's just big crossover, big experimentation, but definitely like a darkness, but an energetic darkness.
And this track's been kind of, you've been playing it in your live sets, and I've seen videos of it going like absolutely nuts, and people have been sending it to us. Obviously, we're like strictly a sort of chart music top 10 sort of thing podcast, but you've brought this amazing new version into our lives, and it's fantastic. The sounds that you have in your music, obviously there's the moodiness, there's the kind of the bass of it, the punkness, and all of that kind of also describes the original Sound of the Underground, so it makes perfect sense. I guess when you made this track, your sort of friends and peers around you, they can't have been surprised that this came about.
Oh no, not at all. Because as well, I kept speaking to, I was speaking before I made the cover version, I was speaking to everyone. I was like, guys, have you noticed that Sound of the Underground is drum and bass? Like it is like drum and bass surf rock mixed with like R&B. And I was like, what a crazy crossover. I need to make a version of it.
Yeah.
And then maybe like 6 months after first speaking to everyone about it, I was in Manchester for a show, had like a day off, and was just like, right, now is the time. Now mm-hmm. is the time. It's going to be made. And then tried the song the day after. So I was supporting Bob Villain, who like this punk yeah. duo. And I just tried the song the day after, and it went very well. So it's nice to hone it live before releasing it for like a few months.
So obviously, you've had the idea, you've then gone to make the thing. What's the kind of process? Have you kind of analysed the original really strictly and kind of pulled it apart, or have you kind of done it from your the kind of your passion and your love and your kind of muscle and memory of the track? How what kind of methods did you use to put your stamp on it?
Yeah, well, there was definitely lots of original reference into the track. Like, I wanted to keep a large bit of essence of it, because that's what makes it so great. Mm-hmm. So it's just like replacing a lot of the original instruments with different synths, and then obviously the iconic guitar bit isn't in my version of the track until the very, very end, but I had to keep the surf rocky guitar bit. But yeah, no, it's definitely very directly referential to the original, but just with my own flair.
Yeah. So obviously you had the idea, and then over the course of 6 months it became a thing. But for going back to when that song first came out 20 years ago, was that your kind of scene? Was that your kind of sound? And which part of the sound was it? You know, was it Girls Aloud and girl bands, or was it Girls Aloud and dark ravey music? What was the inspiration? Which side of it do you come from?
Yeah, when I was younger, when I was like up until my early teens, maybe late teens, I was very much a big fan of pop, like direct pop music, girl bands. I used to be big into like Lady Gaga, but I still am in ways, but it's definitely in my late teens and beyond, that's when the kind of rave influence began. Yeah, so that's how that crossover came about. So the tune came out when I was maybe like, I think I was maybe like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And I remember being, I got obsessed with it then. So it makes sense that I got re-obsessed with it now.
Absolutely. Is there a parallel universe where you don't take the sort of the dark ravey route and you're in Little Mix? Is that a possibility?
Oh, absolutely. I think that was probably my aim. Something like that was my aim when I was around 14.
Yeah. And obviously,
yeah,
it's been out for a day at the time of recording this. It's already had the seal of approval off Nicola. That must have been the most amazing thing. What was going through your mind when that notification pings on your phone?
Oh, it was just surreal, because I was just being cheeky. I was just tagging them, being like, yeah, yeah, listen to it, yeah. And then one of them actually does. I was like, I found out when I was just with my partner in the front room, just sitting down. Yeah, I was like, if I could do a backflip right now, I'd do it. But I couldn't, so I just jumped instead.
It's something to work on. Yeah, your fans love it. I've seen them go nuts to it. But what do you think the Girls Aloud fans are going to think? Because obviously, you know, they've all grown 20 years just like we have. You know, maybe their tastes have changed too. Maybe they've also gone down the sort of same musical cul-de-sac that you have. Was it made with the Girls Aloud fans in mind, or was it kind of purely just like about doing your own thing and making it a separate thing? Or is there kind of a, do you want there to be a connection between the two?
Honestly, I didn't think that Girls Aloud, I wasn't thinking of the Girls Aloud fans. No. I'm not sure whether they would like it. Maybe they would. Maybe it's an interesting, different bit.
I think it's surprisingly faithful. You know, like it is very faithful, and it kind of it keeps a lot of the really, really best stuff about that original track. It's remarkable how faithful it is, but still so different.
Yeah. Well, I would hope that, well, with any stuff that I make, it's like I make it with my authenticity and integrity in it, and just hope that people gravitate towards it. If they don't, that's totally fine. If they do, love them.
Yeah, of course. I think you will pick up some fans along the way. I think there will be people like yourself who were, you know, deep into the girl bands and deep into the pop music, and the tastes are just diversified across the years. That's kind of me. I think like the stuff that you have, and artists like you mentioned Bob Villain there, I think is fantastic as well. I think people will have grown with the sound, and I think this has potential to be really, really big. I really hope so. We're going to keep pushing it. We're going to hammer it on the podcast and get people knowing about it. So on the podcast, we think the noughties is the best decade for chart music. We just do. And we think Girls Aloud are one of the very best artists of that time. And I guess you agree, because you've made this track and you've mentioned your love for them on social media. You've called them the best girl band in the world, which we cannot argue with one bit.
Yeah.
Do you think the enduring appeal of Girls Aloud was? You know, as a fan back then, and as somebody now who's, you know, done a really, really great homage of what they did with your own spin on it, what made you love them so much at the time, and what makes you still love them so much now?
I think they just write great tunes, like them and their team of writers just made really, really solid tunes that stand the test of time. Like, I do revisit them still.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not a cool thing to admit.
No, it is. I think they're more credible than people think.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the great tunes stand stand the test of time.
Absolutely.
That's it for me.
Is there another Naughties track or another Girls Aloud track possibly that could get the Grove treatment next?
Ooh. See, there's quite a lot. See, I really also liked Alexandra Burke, who won X Factor in 2008. I really like the tune Bad Boys. Yeah, the bad boys are always catching my eye. I'm not going to redo it, but I might just do like a fun club edit, like unofficial remix.
Yeah.
Just having a think. Another Girls Aloud track. Oh, I really liked, there was like a Girls Aloud and Sugar Babes back to back track.
Oh, yeah, that was Walk This Way. Yeah.
I thought that was so sick.
You could get a collaborator, you could team up. You've done a track with Lynx, which I love. You know, you could be Girls Aloud, Lynx could be Sugar Babes, and it could be like one big ravey hyper pop sort of madness. I think that needs to happen, and you heard it here first.
I mean, we've spoken it into existence.
Yeah,
snowboard the idea.
See, when you posted the tweet on Tuesday and you said a cheeky new tune and the best girl band in the world, my mind went straight to Cheeky Girls, and I can't believe it wasn't Touch My Bum.
Oh my gosh, you're giving me too many ideas now.
I want commission. It's been so good to chat to you. Just finally, for fans or people who've just come across this track and want to know more, what sort of things are you up to? What sort of other projects are on the go? Where can we see you live? That sort of thing.
So at the minute, I'm just finishing off my year of doing shows in the UK and in France. But then next year, going to be coming back with a bang. So just keep an eye on dates. They'll be up on theyisgrove.com. And I'm on the social media at theyisgrove. Trying to think what else. Other projects. I'm always just up to little, releasing little, because I produce the music that I make as well.
Yeah.
Always just making little fun remixes, edits that are out on my SoundCloud. Yeah, just keep an eye out. And it's been lovely to chat with you, Liam.
Oh, thanks very much for your time. I really appreciate it. The track is fantastic. I really wish you all the best of luck with it. I do think it has potential to go like... And do really, really good things. So I hope it does. And the rest of your music as well. Thanks so much, Grove. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy your crumpets.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
Just for context, I asked Grove before our chat, just as a bit of a sound check, what they're going to have for their breakfast after we finished talking. And they said giant crumpets that they just bought was loads of butter and Marmite. I was with them till the Marmite bit. I'm a Marmite person, but the crumpets and the butter, yes, please. Please do go and give some love to the track. It's fantastic. Stream it. Check out the YouTube visualizer and do let us know what you think. Thanks to Kinsalia on Twitter for flagging it up to us in the first place. If you like Girls Aloud, we're talking about them quite regularly at the moment because obviously chronological order. 2003... real breakout year for Girls Aloud, and then of course all the years after that for the rest of the decade are very much all about Girls Aloud as well. So please do subscribe to us. We spoke about No Good Advice on Friday Just Gone, and we did Sound of the Underground, the original, in series 3, episode 29, back in April. So do go and check that out as well. If you've enjoyed this mini bonus episode of us chatting to Grove, then please do get in touch and let us know what you thought. If there's enough demand for these kind of conversations, we'd love to do more. Just let us know if you do want them, and we will see what we can do. And don't forget to tune in to the brand new episode of The Naughty Snorty this Friday, where we're talking about Busta Rhymes and Mariah Carey, plus Radiohead, Emma Bunton, XTM and DJ Chucky, Abs from 5, and the final singles from S Club. We'll see you there.